prepared.
Hello and welcome to Coping Copenhagen. My name is Owen and I'm with Abby.
Hey.
And I'm with Marius.
Wow, that was.
I mean, it's shocking every time, but that one was really big. That
Thank
was
you.
A big open.
Thank you. You're listening to Coping Copenhagen, a podcast about life in Copenhagen. It's about life in Denmark. It's about life in Scandinavia. It's about everything else that may occur during the time we're in the room together.
Yeah,
it's an open. It's also,
it's also about things that occurred when we were not in a room together.
It is also
maybe more about that.
That's a good point, because the way we do that is we talk about news articles and events that we thought were interesting and we want to talk about generally about Scandinavia or Denmark, or it's about our lives here because we live here, and I live here because I'm Irish and I've moved here. Abby lives here because she's American. She's moved here.
That's true.
And Marius, you live here because you're Danish. You live here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have I covered all the bases?
I think you nailed
it. If you have clicked on the Copenhagen Post, hey, you found us. Because it's a little bit hidden at the moment, but thanks very much for joining us.
Good job.
If you've clicked on Spotify, thank you so much for joining us. And if you are one of the people who've given us a 5-star review, thank you very much. The numbers continue to climb, people. And please continue to give us the 5-star review. It really is helping.
And now we're with Acast, so you might have found it there. Thank you.
That is brilliant too.
Yeah.
And iTunes, if you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star review, because that kicks us up a few notches on the old the podcast things, which is great. And that's great. Thanks very much. Hey guys, thanks for being here.
Thank you for being here, Owen.
You were talking to the listeners. And
that
I was like,
too.
I was like, they're not really here.
Oh, they are.
But me, you were thanking us.
I need to thank you for being here, and I need to thank the listeners for listening. And I need to say I have been remiss because I didn't listen to our own podcast last week while I was in the room, because I neglected to take our own advice. To be more specific, Marius, in last week's episode, I think it was last week's, you mentioned ticks.
Ticks, yeah.
Ticks.
Oh. Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, let's move on to something I want to talk about. And I didn't pay attention. And this weekend, I went camping up in the region you were talking about, and I found a tick on my leg.
Whoa.
And now I might have TBE.
No.
Wait, why?
Well, I don't know. It's like, there's a chance. I'm not vaccinated. So the story is that there's a virus spread by ticks. Mostly it's in Bornholm.
Okay.
That's the most the common place for it. But there's a growing number in North Zealand as well, where I was. And the authorities in those regions are giving out, are asking people to get vaccinated. It's not for everybody. It's for people who live in the area and who are like work in rural areas. Like if you're a farmer or you're like in the woods a lot or whatever, they've asked you to get vaccinated because this thing's on the rise. And I fucking didn't listen. I went straight up and I found a bloody tick on my leg. Now I think I'm fine. And the chances of
Did
me...
You
was it like
yourself?
Biting?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
I took it off.
And was it like all blown up?
It wasn't all blown up. No, it was just on my leg. And then I got a lighter and I burned it off.
But was it like bitten?
Yeah, he bit me. Like, yeah,
you're supposed to get the head out, or else if that stays, then that's where the poison is.
Exactly. So that's why if you put a lighter to it, they release.
Oh, really?
That's why I did the lighter, yeah. Because if you pull, it just, the head sticks in.
Yeah.
This is a great conversation for the start of the podcast.
My dog had a tick this week. Big tick, right in the snout.
Oh.
Yeah. Big tick, big sucker, all blown up.
Oh, no.
And then the whole family gathered around.
Oh.
I was like pulling it off with tweezers, and then my partner was like, you know how to do that, right? You know how to do that? And I was like... Usually, that's enough to make me do anything.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking that, yeah, I know how to do that. Every day of my life.
I woke up in the morning pulling out ticks. I'm going to go to bed
blindfolded.
At night. Pulling out ticks. But like that was like just enough this time for me to be like, maybe you should do it.
Have you not seen my channel TikTok?
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
But instead, we were like, you go ahead. And then all three of the rest of us like bent over him, like squealing. So that we could walk, so we could get a front row seat. The dog was so patient.
Oh.
And then we like pulled the tick out. He got the head and everything. Mm. And then we smooshed it so we could see like it all come out.
Bit of a spy science experiment.
It's wild. It's like a wild, like, also we found another two ticks.
Well, you smooshed the tick.
We smooshed the tick.
Not the dog.
Because the ticks are so little.
Yeah, they're tiny.
That in my head, because I've seen them like once they eat and then they're big. And I've seen them when they're little. And in my head, I'm like, the little ones are baby ticks.
No, it's the same thing. But
it's the same thing, but they have this bag. They have they have a parachute.
Yeah. Like, we should give a warning at this. It would, like, they fill up. They drink blood and they fill up.
Yeah, so much, but they're just like a tiny speck before. And then after they drink the blood, they are as like, they truly have like a...
Like a condom full of...
Like at least like a half... Listen, Marius. Water. Marius does not use condoms right. Yeah. Marius is like, listen.
You mean a blood bag?
Yeah. What I do with my condoms is I strap them on my back, and then I bite into the lady and I fill it up with her blood.
Jesus yeah.
Christ. That's gross.
I write about it all right.
Anyway, it was gross, and you just wouldn't believe how big it. Like, I would say half of my pinky fingernail is how big that, like, the tick blood bag is. Like, it gets so big from the teeny tiny little speck of moving dirt that it becomes a tick. It's an incredible it's an incredible act of nature.
Well, I would suggest anybody who's going to go camping.
Yeah.
Actually pay attention to what we're saying, like I didn't. Yeah. And just keep an eye out for ticks. I think if you use just repellent, they'll stay away and stuff like that. But the camping was lovely.
Yeah.
Was the big lake up north near Hillerud? If you go past Hillerud. Yeah, that one. The big one, right?
Yeah.
It's brilliant. You can go, there's loads of like fire pits that you can start.
There you go.
I don't know, maybe.
Okay.
Pit, like places where you can cook, where there's like shelters. There's actually like nice wooden shelters that you just put your sleeping bag. If you don't even have a tent, you just have just blankets, you can go up and just jump into a shelter. Sometimes
imagine
they're booked.
A place that you can sleep with just blankets.
That isn't your house? That's pretty cool. So anyway, that was great. But if I start getting like flu symptoms in the next 4 or 5 days, I might get very sick and I might not be on next week's episode.
Okay.
But I should be. I'm fine. I think I'm fine. I might be fine. I hope I'm
like
fine.
Not really worried about Owen. Maris, I'm more like, if he tries to bite us during this show, like,
do you know what vampires are? Are you just like guessing that blood equals vampire?
I was pretty sure that vampires are people who use condoms.
But this tick could have drank some blood from a dog with rabies and then gotten to you,
where's the vampire part of this coming up?
You brought the vampire.
Abby brought the vampire up. Oh, so me biting you? Why am I gonna?
She never said
the
vampire.
Yeah, okay, I brought the vampire. Yeah. Vampires are cool. I'm just going to say, vampires are cool. All right, Marius, put that out of the way.
I have some other things to say.
About ticks?
No.
Okay.
I want to say a happy birthday to our listener, Amanda, and her friend. They are turning 40 and they're in Copenhagen.
Yes!
They emailed us and they were so nice and they're here to celebrate their 40th birthdays. And I, you know, on radio shows, sometimes they say happy birthday to people. And I was like, now's our chance. Say it, guys. Say it. Happy birthday.
Amanda
and friend.
Amanda and friend.
Try not to get bitten by a tick while you are here.
Marius, you have the floor. Say something nice in Danish for them.
Må dit næste år være fyldt med glæde og succes og en masse flotte Dannebrog-flag. Må de blive hejst for dig.
He said, may your next year be filled with happiness and success and a lot of Danish flags that will be hoisted.
Thank you.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. A little hoist action. We love that hoisting shit.
Actually, can I get just a brief update on the flag thing we covered a couple of weeks ago?
Two, three episodes.
Supreme Court has now ruled, and we can fly any flag we want.
Oh!
I've been taking advantage of it.
Get that Jamaican flag out.
You guys were wondering why I rode my bike here with American flags on.
I was curious.
And that's why, because I can.
Okay. Yeah. So you could actually put any flag up?
Yep. The Supreme Court has said...
Well, there you go, people.
Fair
you
game.
Heard it here at some point.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yes, thank you so much for emails. It's really wonderful to hear people.
They even asked us if we wanted to come dance with them.
Yeah.
And sadly, it did not work for our schedules, but wow, that was... Dancius was happy.
Dancius
was
happy.
And sad at the same time that he couldn't
So that's,
accommodate.
If you want to contact us, copyincopenhagen@gmail.com. But Marius... That's enough flip-flopping around. What? Bring me some news.
Well, I'll bring a bigger topic and sort of
bit of a bigger topic.
include three articles to try and do a theme about something, a rather serious topic.
Okay.
Something we should take serious anyway, which maybe we're not doing in Denmark. Mental health. And I mean, we talk about Denmark, and generally we score quite high on the happiness index for a country.
Mm.
I don't think we're number one anymore. I think that's the Finns. Mm. But like the Finns, maybe scratch that. I don't actually know. I shouldn't make any comments about Finland. I don't know anything about Finland, really. But many people might have heard that, well, we might be very happy here overall. We also have quite a lot of people on antidepressants and have quite high suicide rates, which all pertains a bit to mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some kind of there's some Venn diagram where things aren't meeting.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm using Venn diagram correctly there, but you know.
I get what you mean.
Bear with me. So one article I read on DR was that more and more mentally ill patients are being sort of admitted to psychiatric wards by force, by the police.
I heard about this myself this week, yeah.
This number has increased over the last 7 years with 23%. So that's quite a lot. It's kind of it's an expression that the police are now having to sort of help carry some of the burden that the what's it called in English? The psychiatric sort of what's that called? You know, the municipalities or the places that offer help and try to help people with mental
psychiatric service.
I don't know what the English term for this is actually.
Okay.
Anyway, the point being that they're struggling. So the police are being called in to sort of go out and do these forceful kind of arrest where they then administer people into the psychiatric wards, which is not great. It's a big traumatic thing for the people being arrested in the moment, and it's also an indicator that they haven't gotten the help they needed, and now it's a bit too late.
It's got to that stage. Yeah.
And it's not great for the police either, because a lot of their resources are being spent on this, and it's also it's kind of a tough thing to deal with also for the police.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bit sad, and definitely something we need to look into. It's also come to my attention that a lot of young people an article from the Copenhagen Post is saying that more young people are on antidepressants. Mm. So from 2016 to 2021, the ratio of people aged 20 to 29 with prescriptions for psychoanalytics increased from 5.1 to 7.2%. And I think there must be some kind of correlation with also we're not sort of catching our young kids and giving them sort of options for dealing with their mental health.
Mm.
And sadly, then they're just kind of medicated, which I think is a way to treat the symptoms, not the root cause.
Mm.
And probably why we're seeing quite high numbers of this. And maybe also why we eventually sort of some of these kids are just dropped because they're just sort of medicated and not actually taken care of. So there's maybe a correlation between that, and then if we look at even younger children, then there's a story on DR about more and more children are sort of going to school, but on sort of part-time, basically, because we're seeing more and more cases with children with ADHD and stuff like this, and they can't manage sort of a full-on school day.
Mm.
And I'll admit, my first thought when I read this was like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
These fucking kids nowadays, young people. Mm. When I was a kid, I thought school was tough. I didn't get a fucking break, did I?
Mm.
I didn't get a part-time. And I was like, check yourself. Stop writing on the artwork. Or it's like more just the question is this because we're better at now sort of... There's some progress in mental health, and we are sort of maybe more attentive to kids who struggle, and we're better at figuring out, well, this is not, maybe more before it was just like, oh, it's just a shitty, naughty kid that won't pay attention. Yeah. Well, now, maybe there's actually some mental health reasons behind it, ADHD and whatnot. And so maybe we're just better at pinpointing that now for kids, where before we maybe didn't. So there's an increase in it. But is it just because we're now seeing it? Mm-hmm. Or is it because we actually are seeing an increase due to, I don't know, phones and all this content and sort of our lifestyle in general? Sort of, does that have an effect? And I just thought it's a very big, broad topic. I'm thrown into the to the podcast here, and I have no answers. But I thought it's an interesting thing, and I just kind of wanted to talk a little bit about mental health in that sense and give an insight into what we're seeing in Denmark at the moment. Thoughts?
I think schools adapting to what kids need is always a good thing. I think that kids being in school less, if they're a good, supportive place, is fine.
That's to the point in the article. They do say they're just kind of parking their kids there. It's not.
Yeah.
It's good that they're maybe taking them out, but they don't have any kind of. They're just sat at home now, and these children are then missing out on social life. Mm-hmm. And
I really like that. I feel like there's flexibility, and I haven't run into this. My kids are still pretty young, but there has been flexibility for me to keep my kids out to travel with me and to be at home when they need it. My mom used to call them when we were kids a mental health day. She used to just keep us out to play hooky. And I loved that, and nobody ever made it feel like a really big deal when I stayed out because things were hard or sad, or my mom could just hang out with me that day.
Yeah,
and that felt really good to me. And now I'm so emotionally secure that you guys call me every night. You're like, Abby, please tuck me in. Yeah, it's outrageous. Wait, Owen's like, no, what? I don't. No, what? I don't. I'm just kidding.
I like her evening call.
But I think that I have a friend actually who's an expert in ADHD. She is a psychologist. She is a renowned speaker on the subject, and she told me that it is true that more and more people are getting diagnosed with ADHD, and it is true that more and more people are getting ADHD because of the way we use screens and technology and phones, so that really does train your brain to behave in this way. I was diagnosed with ADD when I was a young person. I never took meds for it. I was very clear that I didn't want to, but it was I know that some of the things that I am especially good at and make me interesting and funny and good in a on stage are because of that and how I learned to deal with it. I think it's interesting. My instinct when everybody's getting diagnosis, I also have this thing where I'm like, oh my God, here we go. But then it's also we're just learning how to talk about things a different way. And right now it feels oh my God, everybody's got something, whatever. And that is annoying. I think it's annoying too, but I think it's we're learning the ways that people are different, where before it was more we would say that kid's weird.
Yeah, I think that's an important point.
That was the diagnosis.
That's a weird kid. That kid loves sharks. Yeah. And now you'd be that kid's on the autism spectrum.
Yeah.
But it was just before he was the shark kid.
Yeah.
And and now at some point, because I have kind of a lot of friends who now know that they have autism, and I, knowing that about them has made our relationships go better.
Yeah.
Because I would leave conversations with a friend that now we know has autism, and I would walk away thinking one thing happened, and they would walk away thinking another thing happened. Because we were following different rules. I'm following the rule all the time that I am guessing that I know exactly what you're thinking, and it's not what you're saying, but I'm very good at reading your facial expressions. I'm very good at guessing the underlying meaning, and I'm operating from that all the time, which makes me really good at talking to some people who can't convey what they want to say. I'm a good communicator if you're not communicating. But if someone is saying really straightforward what they mean, and I'm trying
you're
to read,
totally shocked. You're shocked. You're
I'm just
what does it mean?
I mean, but now that I know, I love it. It's feels like being on vacation to me. I'm this is amazing. You're just saying I don't have to be guessing. I don't have to be trying to figure it out.
But I think, can't be quite refreshing.
I think I agree with what you're saying. It's the way we view it, right? So you're saying that people, young people are spending less time in school and to taking these breaks, and like ADD's on the rise. But here's the thing, it's whether if we look at it as a crutch or not, right? So if it's just seen as like a, oh, okay, so that's the way we're going, you're going to learn, this is how you're going to interact in society, this is how you develop best, then there's no difference to anything. But if we look at it being like, oh man, people are not in school as much, oh, they're on it. Whereas like, unless you, if you just look at it from a different perspective, you're like, but that's just the way they function best. As long as that's it for their benefit, yeah, right? As long as these things that are happening are for the person's benefit, yeah, then it's fine that these things are going up.
It's a bit like dyslexia. Like, yeah, like that wasn't really, we didn't know what that was.
I'm dyslexic, yeah, and I was kept out of class.
And
I was,
we
like, we're doing English.
Thought
one, so
you were stupid.
Yeah, I know.
We just
know.
Thought you were dumb.
Well, it was a terrible mix. It was a terrible mix. But yeah, I was kept out of class. I was kept out of class.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was like for years just like, you're not learning that.
Wow.
Because they just couldn't be arsed spending time with me.
But did you get time off, or did you then get in another class?
My mother took me to a specialist to be assessed.
Yeah, okay.
And then they're like, oh, he's dyslexic as fuck. He's fine, but he's very dyslexic. And then the school had to bring somebody in to teach, because by law, you have to teach people.
So
we had a specialist, Mrs. Casey. She's one of the most wonderful people I've ever met in my life.
Mrs.
She changed
Casey.
My life. Truly did. She sat me down and taught me how to read and showed me loads of things that teachers just neglected to teach me.
Yeah.
And then I had a perfectly good education. And I went
same
to university.
With me. I was
and
also
da-da-da.
in a sort of a, couldn't read.
Yeah.
And was just struggling with learning how to write. And then, yeah, I got into sort of a special thing, private thing outside.
Mm.
And that, yeah, helped me. And then suddenly I was just reading and writing.
Yeah.
I was still not great at writing. But I can do it very easily.
Yeah.
And reading is like
completely
no
functioning. You're part of society. And so maybe these changes are the dyslexia of the day, you know.
But it's sorry, final point. The issue is that then now there, so where there is some kind of help for people with dyslexia now, and we know how to sort of help these people to still get a education. We don't have that for ADHD right now. There is no resources in the schools or any sort of training for teachers.
Hence,
on
people
how
being
to help
taken
them.
Out. And,
so they're just kind of being parked at home. Yeah.
I also was taken out of school, but for the gifted and talented program.
We've talked about this, Abby.
I thought we should talk about it again. But it's like, but that was what their conclusion was. They were like, because I was doing well when I could pay attention, I couldn't pay attention that much.
Mm.
They were like, oh, you know what you need is? You need to go somewhere else and just do what you want for the day, which kind of did.
Yeah.
I kind of did. And then I sort of had to scramble. I don't know. It is interesting because I think that it is like a time where I like got so much from my teachers who like looked at me as a person and decided things based on who I was. Like I'm thinking like Mrs. Casey, when you said that, like your whole face like lit up remembering Mrs. Casey who knew how to help you. And I also had these teachers who like I just like who took care of me in a different way than they took care of everyone else. I also saw a lot of people not get that because their like thing wasn't that they were like funny and I don't know. Like I know that the way that I acted out was like mostly okay and like likable and like it was like a thing that they could see how they could steer it to the drama department. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're like, what are we going to do with this one? Somebody get her a sock puppet. Like, you know, and that because that's the way, like, I was either asleep during class or like making
it's
jokes.
Epilepsy
or
house.
Like really too engaged. Like, I was like, I have something to say about everything.
Yeah.
And so, like, those were the options. And they're like, well, I guess it's better if she's awake. But there's, I don't know. I had these teachers who, like passed me when they shouldn't have because they could tell, like, holding me back wasn't going to do anything positive and like that I clearly like could understand the things and I just could not make myself do the homework. Like things like that. And I just think that education is evolving and oh my God, I really think Danish education is so, at least for young people, like young children is so much more what I like than typical American public schools in that there's so much more play. There's time to like explore things on your own. They are not sitting
forest schools or what are they called?
There are forest schools.
Yeah.
I I'm just talking about regular, like, yeah, focus schools. I had a kid go to a forest school, and while there were wonderful things about it, we did not have the best experience. So there are things I like about it, but it was hard. We moved from America to here, put her right in forest school. And they were...
And for yourself.
She wanted to go, and she loved it. She loved Ronja Rojadada, which... Ronja the Robber's Daughter in English. Have we talked about it?
Yeah.
It's a great book. It's Astrid Lindgren. Oh, we did when we talked about the rankings.
Book.
But anyway, you should read it. It's so good. But it's about this like little girl who plays in the forest and grows up the daughter of a robber king. And my kid was like so into it. She was like, yeah, I want to go to the forest school. But there wasn't the most like hands-on like teacher situation where... So when she got like bullied for not knowing how to speak Danish, the teachers were like, but in the forest, you fend for yourself.
These are forest
yeah.
It's like the Thunderdome.
There's a knife over there. There's a knife over there. We'll see who's right.
And let's go.
I'm staying speaking in Danish the whole time.
Yeah. And I was a teacher in New York, and like I do think like kids...
There's a knife over there. There's a knife
over there. These aren't forest knives. These are city knives.
Forest knife, country knife. Or no, sorry, forest, country knife, city knife.
It's like, yeah, it's that like the difference between dirts. But like, anyway, I think that kids are good. I think kids are good. I think they can figure out a lot more on their own than they can, that they need like a teacher who's looking at them, paying attention and trying to help them. Mm. And I think Danes are better at that in general. Mm. And looking at this stuff, it feels like frustrating. It feels discouraging. But I do think like it's an adaptable system because there are pedagogues here. Pedagogues are like, they're educators in the classroom.
But they probably need to be trained like with like, I don't think they're equipped to deal with kids with ADHD or ADD.
It's going to have to change. It's going to have to change. But in America, we don't have pedagogues. This is like worth talking about, I think. You know what pedagogues are, Owen? In classrooms, up until, I think, at least fifth grade, classrooms have the teacher. In America, there's a teacher, and then there's like 25 to 30 kids, unless it's like a special kind of school. Mm. There's like a ton of kids, over 30 sometimes. Mm-hmm. I was in a class with 32 kids once when I was in one teacher. And that's a shit ton.
That's a lot of kids.
That is so many kids. In Denmark, there are also pedagogues who are educators in the classroom whose job it is to like be part of the day and look at the kids, think about their social and emotional development. That's their job.
What?
Yeah. And there's like, when they're really little, there's two or three in the classroom. Like, not all at the same time necessarily. Yeah. And then when they get bigger.
Sure, there's this in old schools? I've never heard of this.
Pedagogues?
I didn't have any.
That answers a lot.
It shows. I don't know. Tell us if you know something else. Yeah, my kid's school in Norvell.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Right. It is amazing. And I'm sure, like, I'm sure it varies how many from school to school. It could always be better. But, like, it's an incredible thing. And that their job, then they, like, plan activities for them. And it takes some of the pressure off the teacher, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, like, to have people in the classroom who are just thinking about, like, how it's going for the group. And, like, if there's, like, fights and group dynamic stuff, like, working on that. I mean, it's, like, that's very cool. Mm. And it just sets you up, like, to do better. And I'm sure that there are a lot of things changing. I mean, when I've taught, and like just the addition of phones, that phones exist in these kids' lives is so hard to deal with. And then like the fact that like, yeah, it's probably contributing to like ADHD and like different like a lot of mental health stuff, just ADHD, but like depression in young girls thing that nobody was surprised about. But I mean, we can all tell, we can all feel it. And then these young people are having to deal with that. But like, I do feel like I'm excited to see how Denmark deals with it, because I bet they'll be great. I think Danish people in general, the way they think about young people is generally like so good. Like, I think Danes are good at kids and child development.
Can I bring up the second point, or actually the first point you mentioned, though?
Mm.
Because you also said that there's an increase in forced
admittance.
Yeah,
admittance, not
admission. to Psych wards.
For young people, for anybody?
For anybody.
Okay.
Well, this was specifically for young people.
Oh, young people?
There was a, okay. Like for 20 to 29 okay. year olds.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I have a controversial opinion of it. I think it's an okay thing. Because I know in Ireland, I don't know how it is nowadays, but I know in Ireland that it's illegal to section somebody. I think that's the correct term, to put somebody in the hospital for mental health reasons. Like if they refuse, they just don't get put in. And I know from personal experience, not in my family, but families I've known, that can be very tough because somebody who clearly needs help just says no and they nothing can be done. Whereas I know it's incredibly traumatic and yet, like you said, it's probably the last point, right? As in like things have probably got so bad that it's come to that.
Yeah.
But it's probably still necessary for somebody to get help, right?
Oh, for sure.
You know, as in like...
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with what the police is doing.
No, no. So I think I'd rather it be... Like, it's terrible that it's going up.
Mm.
But I think... Okay, so let me rephrase it. In my mind, I framed it as, is it okay that that happens? Like the forced sectioning. I think that's the correct term. And yeah, I think it's horrible, but it's... I have the hope that people are getting the treatment they need, you know, and becoming.
Yeah. I mean, they're not being thrown into jail. They're being administered to a psych ward, and then they will get some kind of help there. But yeah.
But
it should. Ideally, it shouldn't get to that point. No. But now that it has, of course, they should be administered and could be terrible for the families having to deal with it. And they're obviously clearly not in the right state of mind to make that call themselves in that moment. So
it does feel, I mean, I don't know what the rules are, and I'm hopeful that there are clear policies around how long that can happen for and what the process is for.
Yeah,
because it feels scary.
I'm sure there's dark corners where people just get lost in the system. You know, where there isn't a guardian or isn't a...
You're right. Like, it's like I recently heard about, like, a family where they were, like, coming out of this, that a mother had, made her son get, like, psychiatric treatment without his consent.
Mm-hmm.
And that they were, like, coming out of it and, like, she was in the hospital with him like 4 months and like, you know, and like he got better and now he's coming home and things are improving, but like he just hated her that whole time.
Mm.
And now like they're like mending their relationship. And it does make me think like, oh, like that's like a hard decision. Like, and as a parent, you know, you do have to do things sometimes that like your kid doesn't want. And it feels bad. Like it feels really bad to like do something to your kid that they don't want, but is like the correct thing to do. Like to like when they're a baby, like holding them for a shot or something where you're like, fuck, like this sucks. But...
Shots of tequila. Just take it.
Yeah, it's come on. You're gonna bite the lime. So much cooler after this.
Bite the lemon.
It will go viral, I swear.
But they...
Mommy just need 35,000 followers, okay?
I've only got a lot more than that.
But
then she'll be happy.
All right, shut up. Boys, take your shots and shut up. Suck on your lemons and stop talking. I'm trying to finish my story because there's an other side. Yes. Are you ready?
Yes.
Suck on your little lemons and listen up. Okay. It's but then what if you don't have like a loving mother in the room with you the whole time? Do you know what I mean? Like what if there isn't a parent or a guard? Right. Like you said, like that is somebody who's... Like somebody helped make this decision with the government. This happened to this young person who didn't want it, but like, and they were there like advocating for them every step of the way. That like that parent was thinking clearly, thinking about that, like had their eyes on this situation the whole time. It feels scary because there are so many people without without an advocate like that in their life, who need some kind of support, but like don't have someone who's like there. Like on their team, who's like, the goal is to get you out. The goal is to like get you back on track.
I think Marius, like you said at the top, Denmark being one of the happiest places, and you know, all these things
we lock up all the sad people. We're just like, well, get out of here.
But I think Danes lock up their emotions quite a lot, like the Irish do. You know, like we've compared the Irish and the Danish mentality a few times in this podcast, but I think it's true. I think Danes are, like everybody knows, Danes love to talk about their feelings when they're rat-arsed.
You'll hear when they're what?
Pissed. When they're drunk.
Okay, but what did you say?
Rat-arsed.
Rat-arsed.
Okay. Rat-arsed. Carry on. And then Danes will, they'll tell
possum
you everything.
Possum-anist.
They'll tell you everything and then they'll... possum-anist. Absolutely possum-anist. That's a good one. But then you'll never hear about it again because they'll just be like, okay, blinds back on. We're not friend. We're not social friends anymore. You know, I think that's very similar to the Irish deal with it, you know.
It's every third person in Denmark gets some kind of mental disease.
Is there a particular website that people can go to?
To get their mental, to order their mental disease?
Well, I was looking for something where if there was something specifically for internationals here in Denmark. I couldn't find that, but okay. There is something called the start line, startlinjen.dk.
Okay.
And they have a hotline that you can call between 4 and 11 p.m. All year. Okay. And I am sure they can speak English, like at least enough to help you get another number.
If I call Ford to get a tire fix and it's in English, I'm sure these guys will speak English.
Yeah. So and it's completely free, and you can talk about anything, and it's completely anonymous also. Yeah.
So please, if we are bringing up some topics that you would you know, that you think you need to talk to somebody about, please contact.
Yeah.
Or just write us an email at Copenhagen.
We're not professionals, but God damn it, we'll do our best.
Okay. We did want to say that. Oh, sorry. Were you done with
I just want to say the number.
Oh, yes. Yeah, say sure. The number.
So you can call what's called Startlinjen, Startlinjen. The number is 35362600.
Thank you very much. Abby, you said you looked excited there for a second. What was this?
I know, I was going to make it fun again, but...
No, it's fine. It's dead serious.
But no, it's fine. Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, we did think that maybe we could give you advice on things, on your mental health issues. Not on your mental health issues. We're not doctors. We can do it anyway, but we'll remind you, we're not in any way licensed.
This is your segue.
This is my segue. Or if you want to know, like how to not get a ticket on the metro. You can edit this out.
Nope. This is staying in.
Just going to let me flounder.
Yeah.
Anyway, write us an email. Anything you want us to talk about, tell you about.
No. Start again. Tell us, what is your idea for the new segment?
Okay. I have an idea that in a new segment, maybe you listening now will write us an email about something that you would like advice on about living in Denmark, living in Copenhagen. We get these emails sometimes, but they do feel like maybe we shouldn't say it on the air because they're like, people are asking us about specific things and we don't know. So if you would like us to talk about something on the air, we can address your issues on the air, answer your questions about living in Copenhagen, living in Denmark. They don't have to be deep and whatever. They can be about immigration advice and things like that. Mm-hmm. They can be those things. We are three different people. We might have three different advices to give you. But if you want to do that so that we know, we can read it on there, you can say, you can start your email with, Dear Coping or Dear Abby. I mean, we know that's the real one. What are they? Like, we're just trying to be inclusive to Dancius and Owen. Just start your email with Dear Coping and then be like, maybe you want to say this on the air and we can keep your name out of it. We can do whatever. You can tell us whatever you want. And then we'll talk about it. We'll answer your question. We'll give you advice on the air. Yeah?
Yeah.
Can we do it? I think it would be fun.
There we go.
I think we're going to try to do it at the end of next week if we get any emails at the end of the episode. And you can just email us at copinginCopenhagen@gmail.com.
That's the one.
Okay. It's the Barbie movie came out this week.
Mm.
Okay.
And have you seen it?
Not yet. Going to. But there was like a 6-page article in the New Yorker about it.
Oh, boy.
And part of it had to do with Denmark.
Oh.
I thought you might be interested.
Okay.
Okay. So... As everyone knows, there are three famous things about Denmark. One is Hans Christian Andersen, writer of The Little Mermaid. Mm-hmm. One is Lego toys. Mm-hmm. And the third is I'm a Barbie Girl, the song by Aqua.
Well, pre-recording, there was a fourth. We were discussing, does everybody know that Denmark loves bacon? Yeah. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Marius says yes. Abby says no. I say some people do.
Go ahead, okay. Owen's very safe here. I feel like you are a lot more opinionated on Marius.
It's an election year, Abby.
Okay, when you think about Denmark, is the first thing you think about bacon? This is so crazy to me. Nobody thinks about bacon. Nobody thinks about anything except that they think that it's where Amsterdam is. That's what people think about Denmark. Yeah. Okay.
I have had people ask me that.
I have another thing I want to talk about after this. Okay. But Barbie Girl. Okay. Yep. So in this very long article in the New Yorker I read, this is what it says. In 1997, Mattel sued MCA Records over the Aqua song Barbie Girl, a Euro pop parody, not just Euro, a Danish pop parody. that included such lines as, I'm a blonde bimbo girl in a fantasy world. Okay.
Touch me here, touch me there, hanky panky.
Keep going.
You can touch, you can play.
Stop, the copyright bots are going to get us.
Okay, a Ninth Circuit judge who was ruling on the case said that the toy maker ruled against the toy maker, concluding... This is like truly what it says in the paper. Mm. This is what a Ninth Circuit judge ruled to Mattel and Aqua. Mm. The parties are advised to chill.
Really?
Yeah, they ruled against Mattel. God. And they were like, fuck off. Isn't that so wild?
That's brilliant.
Yep. Have a Coke and a smile and shut the fuck up, Mattel.
But in general, you're allowed to use products and like say things in your songs and in your writing and stuff. But the reason Mattel sued is because they wanted this image of Barbie that's like high powered, like they didn't like the bimbo stuff.
Yeah.
They were like, that's like giving Barbie. But like, people are so into it. They're so into it. Anyway, I thought that was really interesting.
That is very interesting.
We made it into the New Yorker.
That is very interesting. Aqua, for those who don't know, Aqua's Danish, mostly.
Yeah, the lead singer is Norwegian.
Yeah.
The rest are Danish.
Oh, guys.
Well, I have a vague memory that one of the lead singer is married to another guy in the band, right?
Yes.
That guy, does he not own a fish and chip shop now?
I don't think that was the lead male singer rapper René Dief, as he was called.
Ball guy.
Yeah.
He's got a fish and chip shop.
He might have a fish and chip shop. He definitely sold René, because Dief sounds a bit like chips. Uh-huh. So he sold some René chips.
All right,
I think, guys.
We're going for
like
fish
that.
And chips. Yeah. Marius, in the meantime, do you have any hot tips?
Dang. Yep, I do.
Fish and chips is one.
Fish and chips. I have one hot Berlin tip.
Oh, okay.
Because it is summer.
We have listeners in Germany.
And people do travel. And yeah. Berlin is a lovely place to go to, especially in the summer. But be warned, there's a lion loose in Berlin. I shit you not.
Wow, what a hot tip.
Yeah.
This is a hot warning more than
this
anything.
This is a hot warning, yeah. It's very funny because they don't know where this lion escaped from. They're guessing it's in Tivoli. Yeah, but they don't know. They don't know. It was a man saw it kill a wild hog. Ooh. In Berlin. I didn't know
so there's hogs as
wild
well.
Wild hogs running around.
Fucking jungle
maybe
out there.
Maybe like somebody just like maybe it's just there to kill the hogs. Like it sounds like a pest.
They
control.
Had a yeah, they had a problem. Yeah. Get, a the problem. Get the lion okay. in. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so if you're in the neighborhood umkring Berg Kleinmansch now and Telltown and Stanstorf, then
ooh,
stay inside.
That's
and
upsetting to hear Marius speak German. We don't like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you like that, yeah?
We don't like it. No. We don't like it. Don't do it again.
I'm not sure.
Welcome to Corbin in Copenhagen. Yeah, today we'll give some very hot tips.
No.
So if you're in Berlin.
Watch out for the lion.
Watch out for the lion.
Uh-huh.
In more Copenhagen-related hot tips, yep. I'm going to shamelessly plug a show I'm in. At the ICC Theater this Saturday, we're bringing over three of Sweden's funniest improv comedians from Stockholm in a theater called Presence. And they're joining four very talented improvers from the ICC. So come around the ICC, 8 o'clock, have a good time.
Oh, nice. My God. Okay.
I hear you're doing something funny, Abby.
Yeah, that's great. Wait, so you're going to be in that show on Saturday? Show, yeah. Oh, nice. So Saturday the 22nd.
Yes, 8 p.m.
Okay, great. Well, then you can go to Marius' show, and then on Monday, July 24th, you can come to my show. It's at No Stress Copenhagen, No Stress Bar on Nørrebro. And it's at 8 o'clock, and it's me, and it's my friend Kriti, and it's my friend Tommy, and it's my friend, Charlene Jahan, who's here from the United Kingdom. And it's just the four of us. It's very funny. It's great. And, we're from all over the world, but it's going to all be in English. If anybody tries to speak any German in that room, Marius, if you come, yeah, if you say any, and get out. that'll be really fun.
And Albert's in Aarhus. If you're on that side of the island, go head over to Albert's on a Sunday. There's a basement there. It's full of funny people. It's in English and it's free. Check it out. Albert's comedy. Oh, Abby, okay, hands okay, up. Okay, yes, Abby, okay, you put your hand up.
We have to redesign our logo. And we were talking about Danish things to put in it. And like literally like all the Danish things that people can come up with are hot dogs and bacon. And mermaids. And I'm not sure.
Any of those
really count. What do you think of when you think of Denmark? What should we include in our logo? Can you email us?
Symbols
of Denmark with our faces. Concept design ideas are much encouraged. Please send them to copingincopenhagen@gmail.com.
You can also write a message on Spotify if you want to do it there. Mm. And of course, we still have Instagram and Facebook as well. So Coping in Copenhagen and all those things. I suppose all we can do until next week is
stay
cool. Ping.